Someone told me this morning that they had an idea for a bumper sticker. And it should read something like this: Judaism, not a religion, a relationship. Interesting. Not a religion, a relationship. And I'd like to expound upon that just a little bit. You know, there's a famous story in the Gemara in Shabbos where a non-Jewish person comes to, actually, Shammai, asks him to convert him, teach him the whole Torah while he stands on one foot, and Shammai told him, take a walk. You know, I don't know whether on 1 foot or 2 feet, but told him, take a walk. Came to Hillel, and Hillel said, fine, I'll teach you the whole Torah while you stand on 1 foot. And he told him one sentence. That which to you is hateful, do not do to your friend. This is the whole Torah. The rest is just explanation. Now go and study. And Rashi has two pshotim in what it means. And one pshat, Rashi says, the first one, that which is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. Your friend refers to Hashem. Do not betray. Do not disappoint. Do not violate the relationship that you have with Hashem by doing something which is inappropriate in the context of that relationship. And that means that according to this pshat and Rashi, the kol ha-Torah kula, the essence of the Torah, the essence of the whole Torah, is this one thing, your relationship with Hashem. And that relationship with Hashem is an extremely important thing, and that's, I guess, why, or maybe that's why, this guy came up with this bumper sticker that he says, Judaism, not a religion, it's a relationship. But in this parsha, there's a very interesting dynamic about that relationship. Sori Menu was childless. She was 90 years old. She was praying to Hashem for so many years to have a child. 30, she was 40, she was 50, she was 60, she was 70, she was 80, 90 years old, praying and praying and praying and praying for Hashem to give her a child. And Chazal are interested in probing this, and they ask the following question. Why were the Imohis, Sora, Rivka, Rocha, and even Leah, they went for a long time before they could have children? Even Leah, it says, Vayar Hashem kisnua Leah. Hashem saw that Leah was not favored by Yaakov over Rochel. Rochel was the favored wife, and therefore she began to have children. So everybody had to wait, and the Sora, Rivka, and Rochel, they waited a long, long time. Why were the Imohis barren for so many years? And Chazal answer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'ave l'tfiloson shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu craves the tfilos, the prayers of the righteous people. Now we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have cravings. Cravings is a human phenomenon. You know, we don't understand him except in human terms, but we don't. Certainly it's not cravings as we know. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no needs, nothing lacking, has everything. And if he craves the tefillas of tzaddikim, it has to be that it's for their benefit, not for his benefit. He has no benefits from us. He cannot benefit. We cannot benefit him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that the tzaddikim have great benefit when they pray. It brings them, I guess, closer and closer and closer, and enhances and deepens that relationship with Hashem when you're constantly turning to Him. And therefore, he had the Imohis wait many, many years until finally they reached a certain point, a certain level of connection, of relationship with Hashem, and then they were granted children. So I often look at this Chazal, and I think if I were designing the world, I would do it a little differently. I would say, you know, Sarah suffered so many years. She knows that her child is to be the future of Klal Yisrael. She knows that the purpose of creation is going to unfold and be fulfilled with the child that emanates from her. And yet, she had to wait so many years, so much prayer. I assume so many tears. I assume so much disappointment, so much craving to have a child. I would have designed it differently if I was the designer. I would say, you know, I'll give you 50 years of crying and craving a child and begging Hashem and coming closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to Hashem. Then I would give you the child. And then I would expect that for 40 more years, you'll say Hallel. You'll express your appreciation. It's also relationship. Relationships have to do with if I need you and if I ask you to help me. Relationships have to do with you help me and I express my appreciation. And yet that wasn't the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the world. And I think I know why. That's a little bit presumptuous of me, but I think I may know why. Because there's no comparison between a situation of where I need and I beg, or where I received and I thank. Needing and begging, think about it. If you need something, if you want something, if you need something, you keep begging. Like, I want someone to pay attention. So I keep begging. I ask again. I wait. I want some. Whatever we want. You want money? Yes. You didn't get the first time. Yes, the second time. Yes, the third time. It's until they throw you out. This is what we do. We ask. Thank you. Maybe now, of course, Sora would have been much different, but even for Sora, it's not the same thing. I would assume, you know, if I had something, a big gift, and even if I spent 50 years asking for it, then when it comes, maybe the first week I would say Hallel. Then I can, next week I'd say half a Hallel, you know, leave out the psukim, the paragraphs we leave out on Rosh Chodesh. Then the third week maybe I would say Hoidu, and get away with that. By the fourth week it would be a Shkoyach, thank you very much, and you know, and what have you done for me today? So like, thanking is much more difficult because we forget. We forget, we take for granted, it becomes natural, and before you know it, it's gone. Need, we keep on pounding away, banging on the door, begging. So it seems that the situation of need and the response of the tzaddikim of constantly asking is something that truly elevates them to the highest levels of connection with Hashem, and that's the ultimate good. And I would add to that the following. I assume that if Hashem made Sora wait for 90 years and 90 years of begging, I don't assume that the relationship with Hashem, that relationship which is so comforting, which is so soothing, which is so securing, such a wonderful thing to have a relationship with the king, with the controller, with the master, with the creator. It's like, wow, you know, him and me, we're tight, we're like this, we're best friends. It's a tremendous thing. I know I can get what I want. I have peace of mind. I feel secure. I feel uplifted and elevated and validated because look who's my friend, look who I have a relationship with the Creator, with the King, with the Melech Malchei Amlochim. But I imagine that doesn't only come after 90 years of begging. I imagine that every step of the way, Sora felt closer and closer and closer and closer. So even though it was 90 years of pain, wanting and craving for that child, but it was every day an uplifted level of dveikus b'Hashem, of connection to Hashem, of closeness with Hashem, which was the ultimate sense of fulfillment and happiness. David HaMelech said, "Vani kirvas Elokim li toif." You know what good is in my life? There's one good in my life, David HaMelech said, and that's closeness with Hashem. And the process of getting closer is a process that makes me feel better, better about myself, happier, more fulfilled every single day. So I think that the lesson from here, is really very simple. Judaism is, I would say, not a religion, more than just a religion. It's a relationship. And the key is to develop that close relationship with Hashem. When a person has that relationship, you know, I never met a person, I don't think I'll ever meet a person, who's going to be spared all the challenges of life. Life has ups and downs. Life has challenges. If you've lived a very cushioned life until now, which I'm sure many haven't, but there are challenges out there. Nobody gets an exemption. There's no pass on that. There's no exemption. But what there is the ability to cope with life's challenges because I have this relationship with Hashem. Hey, friend, you know something? I got this big problem. I have the faintest idea what I could do about it, but I'm counting on you. And two things happen. When you really count on him, that's when he responds. And when I count on him, I feel so calm. I feel so soothed. I have such peace of mind. I have such tranquility. I have such menuchas hanefesh. Because, you know, he got it under control. I think it's out of control. But he got it under control. He doesn't have control problems. He controls everything. And my relationship with the one who controls is the most uplifting and soothing and comforting and happy relationship that I could possibly have. So I think that you know, I speak to a lot of people, you know, products of the yeshiva education, and many have articulated the fact that one of the concepts that they haven't heard or thought or learned too much about was this idea of this relationship with Hashem. And I think it's so sad, because Hillel said, according to the first pshat in Rashi, that that's kol haTorah kula. That's what it's all about. So I would suggest that we take advantage of every opportunity that we have to expand and develop and further expand that relationship with Hashem. A great man once said, and I've never been able to determine who this great man was, assume he was a great man, he said, "When I pray, I talk to Hashem." That's part of the relationship. The relationship is two sides to it. When I study Torah, Hashem talks to me. And that's really what it is. Because Hashem communicates to us through his Torah. When he tells us, this is what you have to do, this is what you're supposed to do, this is why you have to do it, this is my value system, this is my hashkofa on life. So he's communicating to us. He's given us all this information that's relevant and critical to us. So I talk to him, and he does talk back. And he talks back in another way too. His hashkofa protis, the things that he does for me, sometimes in response to my tefillah, and sometimes even before my tefillah, are his means of communicating with me. So he's communicating with me, I'm communicating with him, and together what that forges is this relationship. Chazal say, chochem odif mi novi. A chochem is greater than a novi. What's the comparison? A novi sees the future. A chochem just tells us what the halacha is, what the Torah says. But I think there's really a very direct comparison. Because a chochem, through telling us the Torah, through telling us what Hashem wants us to do, that's how we mold and can rely as if we predicted the future, because do this and the future will be good. That's what we're supposed to do. And I would even say that maybe the Chochem is odif mi Novi, what Chazal say, because the Novi only has a revelation of what to do when Hashem reveals himself to him. It's not a 24/7 thing. The Torah is ours. The directives are there. We study the Torah and we have directives for every aspect of life. One of the most amazing things to people who are becoming Bali Tshuva is when you show them the table of contents of modern day Tshuva Sforim, let's say Reb Moshe Feinstein Sforim or things like that. And they say, how could a scholar of ancient texts decide issues about the most modern and complex inventions based on ancient texts that were written thousands of years ago? In other words, those texts carried with them all the relevant information and guidance to be able to deal with the most modern day inventions, the technology on Shabbos and medical things that were just recently discovered, and it's all there. And that's really what we have. We have this guidebook, and this guidebook is the way Hashem speaks to us. So we can enhance that relationship with Hashem through the talking to him through the tefillah, and through the listening to him through the Torah, and through his intervention in our lives in Hashgacha Pratis. We can truly forge that relationship, and we can come to that realization of the foundation of Kol HaTorah Kula, Ma Daloch Sani LeChavruch LeSavi. Hashem, he is my friend, and therefore I don't want to betray him. I don't want to do anything which would be offensive to him and to the chesed that he wants to do in this world, in creating the world, in creating us, in giving us guidance, so he should be able to bestow upon us the greatest kindness.